This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
House Commerce and Energy will come to order. I'd like to welcome those that are here today and welcome those that are listening over the internet. Brief reminder, if you have your cell phone with you, please turn it off, the sound, put it on airplane mode or whatever. We do have a penalty system in here. At this time, I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representative Spiel.
Here.
Harrison excused. Holly. Kirschman.
Here.
Norstrup.
Here.
Stalzer.
Here.
Steinhauer.
Here.
Wick.
Here.
Willardson.
Here.
Woman.
Here.
Zickman.
Here.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
And Rounds.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, we do have minutes from last week's meeting, and Representative Willardson, do you have a motion?
Second.
On the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Representative Willardson, and it's seconded by Representative Schoenbeck. Any discussion on the minutes from the last meeting? Hearing none, all those in favor of approval of the minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are so approved. Again, I'd like to welcome everybody here today. Those that are going to testify, you know the routine, sign in the back so we know who's going to testify and on what bill. If you have anything to pass out to the committee or need any assistance on distribution or running errand or something, we have pages here to do that. And with that, I'd like the pages to please come on up to the microphone, introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit about yourself and what your future plans are.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jennifer Nelson. I attend Huron High School, and next year I'll be going to USD to pursue a degree in teaching.
Go Tigers!
Hi, I'm Mary Merksbauer. I attend Central High School in Aberdeen. I'm either going to University of Nebraska-Lincoln or University of South Dakota next year, and I'm undecided on what major I'd like to pursue.
And thank you. So there's still time to persuade somebody to be a Black Hill State student. But and thank you for the assistance.
She's from Webster originally.
Yep. A Webster, kind of like you, Lee?
Webster girl.
Webster girl. They do provide us a lot of assistance. Does anybody have any personal privileges? Any guests you want to introduce? Seeing none. Brief reminder, we're going to take up bills today. To the committee and to those that are testifying, all testimony, all questions, all answers go through the chair. The chair could be myself, or I could pass the hammer to my VC, vice chair, or to any member here. Whoever has the hammer is the chair, and give them, if I'm not sitting up here, give them the respect they deserve. I'm not saying that about me. You guys know me well enough.
He's honorable.
Today, we do have, it looks like a lot of bills, but most of these, they're all from agencies, and I put these together because I think we can fly through most of these pretty quick. And that's my goal today, is to get these moving one way or another. First bill up today is House Bill 1038, update certain citations to federal regulations regarding public or pipeline safety inspections. And this bill is brought to us by the Public Utilities Commission. Good morning, Madam Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Christy Fegan with the Public Utilities Commission. It is always great to come in front of the Commerce and Energy Committee. This will be our only bill that we have this session. I'm sure we may testify on other bills, but this is our only agency bill. And it was really nice when I talked to the chairman yesterday, and he said, "Oh, Commissioner, tomorrow is the day of consent calendar bills." So I was very excited to be listed first. House Bill 1038 is our pipeline safety revisions bill. We have two pipeline safety inspectors in the state of South Dakota. They are housed in the Public Utilities Commission. They are actually agents of the federal government of the PHMSA organization. PHMSA is our Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. So they really try to have our pipelines, which is around 5,000 miles of transmission and distribution, intra-state pipelines. They need to adhere to the laws and regulations of the federal government. Well, when you have regulations at the federal government, you need to make sure our state statutes are updated. So this is just a citation updating for the new standards so our pipeline inspectors can make sure that they can enforce the compliance that needs to be enforced. So that's what 1038 does, and I will stand by for questions, Mr. Chairman, if anyone has any.
Thank you, Commissioner Feagin. Any other proponents to House Bill 1038? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1038? Any opponents? Seeing none, I'll open it up to committee questions. Any questions of the committee, of the commissioner? Seeing none, I'll open it up to committee discussion and or action. Mr. Representative Chairman, Schoenbeck.
Move to pass.
Second.
We have a motion by Representative Schoenbeck to pass on House Bill 1038, seconded by Representative Wollman. Discussion on that motion, Representative Schoenbeck.
I think this should be on the consent calendar, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, the question is, do pass on House Bill 1038. All those in favor of the do pass motion will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Beal.
Aye.
Harrison.
Aye.
Excused. Holly.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Stulzer.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Wollman.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
12 yeas.
House Bill 1038, having an affirmative vote of 12 ayes, will be moved to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Representative Schoenbeck.
I would defer to
Representative Zickman. Zickman. You have a motion?
I'll move consent.
Representative Second. Zickman moves consent, seconded by Second. Representative Nordstrup. Anybody opposed? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? House Bill 1038 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation and be placed on the consent calendar. I had Representative Harrison down to take care of this bill, but she is ill today. So I am going to have Representative Wollman carry this bill to caucus and answer questions on the floor. Representative Howley, Kirschman, you guys can fight over. I got a cheat sheet for you. You can fight over your caucus if you wish. Thank you. Second bill up is House Bill 1032, revised certain provisions regarding guarantee energy saving contracts. This time the chair will ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1032.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Christy Honeywell. I'm the state engineer in the Bureau of Administration, and I'm here today in support of House Bill 1032. It's an act to revise certain provisions regarding guaranteed energy savings contracts. These contracts are a way for governmental units to perform energy improvements and use that energy cost savings to repay the project cost. Typical energy projects could include new windows, lighting, energy efficient heating and cooling systems, roof replacements. Chapter 133B, the current statute allowing these types of contracts, does not adequately meet our current industry procedures. Therefore, this bill does the following. First, it allows the governmental unit to hire a qualified energy service provider to research and find cost savings projects using a competitive request for proposal process outlined in our current statutes. This research is called an investment-grade energy audit. The provider is chosen based on technical expertise, guaranteed energy savings contracting experience, but not necessarily the lowest priced. The governmental unit may choose any or none of the recommended projects, and if they decide they don't want to do any of those projects, then they pay for the investment grade audit at that time. If the projects are chosen, the provider guarantees the cost savings, and in most circumstances, contracts directly to get that work done for us. They perform measurement and verification of the energy savings. If the guarantee is not met, the provider pays the difference back to that governmental unit. House Bill 1032 repeals existing unworkable language regarding the information the providers have to submit in their proposals and public notice and public meeting requirements. This bill will help state agencies, campuses, school districts, counties, and cities better implement and fund energy savings projects, even if they do not have the upfront funding. Because of these reasons, I respectfully ask you to vote yes on this bill, and I will stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Honeywell. Any further proponents on House Bill 1032? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1032? Any opponents? Seeing none, I'll open it up to committee questions. Representative Schoenbeck? I would imagine this is for the testifier.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Can you tell us, is this a process that's currently being used by any entity of government in South Dakota?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, it is in state government. We have not used this process yet. The Board of Regents would like to use it. It has been in statute for quite a while, maybe 10, 15 years, something like that. I do know that some small school districts and counties have used this process very successfully.
Representative Schoenbeck, do you have a follow-up? Any other questions of the committee? Seeing none, thank you. The chair will close public testimony, open it up to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1032. Representative Willitson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Willitson moves due pass for House Bill 1032.
Second. Representative Willitson moves due pass on House Bill 1032. That motion is seconded by Representative Zickman. Comments on that motion? Representative Willitson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is just good common sense, and it just would help out with energy conservation, and I think it's something that we need to do in state government, so I'd encourage its passage.
Further comments on the due pass motion, House Bill 1032?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Schoenbeck.
I had a little trouble wrapping my head around it just because I've not been used before much. Apparently, I've not even heard of it before. So I just want to say, well, I'm going to vote for it. I'm not going to vote for consent. I think when you have something that hasn't been explored, it ought to be talked about through the body.
Thank you, Representative Schoenbeck. Any further comments concerning the due pass motion? Seeing none, the question is, due pass on House Bill 1032. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Spiel.
Aye.
Harrison excused. Holly.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Norstrup.
Aye.
Stalser.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Woman.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
12 ayes.
House Bill 1032 with an affirmative vote of 12 to nothing will move to the floor, due pass recommendation. And as we heard from Representative Schoenbeck, he's going to oppose consent. For that reason, I may change who I had in mind to carry this to the floor.
I don't understand it.
So you don't want to carry it?
Not really.
Okay. Representative Wick, what you doing this afternoon?
Is that a loaded question, sir?
It is.
I have a feeling I'm taking House Bill 1032 to my caucus and eventually to the floor, sir.
That's a good answer. Any opposition to that consent motion of him carrying it to the floor? Hearing none, it will be placed on the debate calendar with the due pass recommendation. Moving right along, next bill up is House Bill 1030, an act to revise certain codes and standards regarding fire prevention. At this time, the chair will ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1030.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of committee, Paul Merriman, State Fire Marshal, Department of Public Safety. With your permission, Mr. Chairman, I'll do a brief summary of the bill, what the bill does. Through House Bill 1030, we wish to update model codes and standards that we use for the development of our fire prevention programs. The bill consists of 8 sections. In sections 1 through 8, we wish to change the effective date from July 1st, 2010 to July 1st, 2016, as this only applies to the construction of new facilities. In sections 2 through 6 of the bill, we wish to change the current references to the 2009 international codes to reflect the 2015 international codes. The 2015 IBC provides and establishes minimum standards and regulations for commercial building systems that safeguard public health and safety. The South Dakota Municipal League, through House Bill 126 during the 2015 legislative session, which passed, required local unit of governments adopting any ordinance prescribing standards for new construction to be in compliance with the IBC 2015 edition. This change will allow the department to maintain a solid program of fire prevention based on current codes and standards, and it will also promote regulatory consistency across the state. I would ask for your favorable consideration of House Bill 1030, and I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1030.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of House Commerce and Energy. My name is Donna Lightsky, and I'm the executive director of the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association. You may be asking yourself, what does it have to do with fire prevention? But the very manual that Mr. Merriman spoke about governs gas pumps, gas nozzles, and equipment that we use in our facilities to keep ourselves safe from fire. We like to stay consistent with surrounding states. I'll give you an example. If I'm putting in a new gasoline dispenser or I'm bringing in nozzles, my installer may be across the border in Iowa or Nebraska, North Dakota, Wyoming, or Montana. And this code update will bring us in consistent version of the International Fire Code with those surrounding states. So for consistency reasons and safety, we do urge you to support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional proponents on House Bill 1030? Any other proponents?
I know.
Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1030? Are there any opponents? Seeing none, I'll open it up to committee questions. Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor.
Mr. Merriman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I understand that we're not reviewing the entire code. We're just updating the code. But a question that relates to this is, how much discretion does a enforcer, I would assume it would be the fire marshal, would be the person you'd probably meet on this particular code. How much discretion do they have when the code clearly contradicts the exact situation, but the code doesn't make sense in that exact situation? Is there discretion on the fire marshal's part to waiver a code that doesn't make sense?
There's a process in statute for us that would cover that. And through the administrative rules process, we actually amend and delete certain sections of code because it's not really a one-size-fits-all type of standard. So there are certain areas of the code that it may not fit well in, say, rural areas of the state or whatever. So when we do our code study and develop those rules, we take a really good look at those things, and then we do have the ability in statute to amend or delete or change those things. The department secretary also in statute has the ability to eliminate if we would find a very problematic section of code or some area of the code that just simply did not fit or was negatively impacting South Dakotans, we could deal with that in that way too. So there's several avenues in which we can deal with those type issues. It's important to remember the state fire marshal's office has oversight in only a limited number of building projects in the state. The majority of those are left up to local building officials. And this code is meant to be a minimum base standard. And so a local building official or local building or fire program could not be less stringent, but they can be more stringent. So I can only speak to that from the state fire marshals and things representative.
Representative Northrup, do you have a follow-up?
I do a follow-up. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I understand that if there's a code that is clearly not working in a particular situation, we could take it to the Rules and Review Committee, and they could implement a rule that would override that part of the particular code. But in a more real-world situation, I start construction March 1, and we find the problem March 1. To go through that rules and review process isn't going to be done on a timely basis. So my question is, can that enforcer of the code say, look, the code makes no sense in this situation. It makes sense that we do it our way in complete violation of the code, but that's what's rational. That's what's reasonable.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Merriman.
Absolutely. The way the code is written in the administrative portion of the code, it grants that individual, whether it be a local fire chief, whether it be a local building official, okay, or in our case, it was a project that we had state oversight in our office, to be able to work through those things. And, you know, we can entertain variances or I guess similar type of fixes or whatever to deal with those as we see fit.
Thank you.
Does that answer your questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes.
If I can follow up on his line of questioning, I want to go back. These are updated like every, 3 years?
Typically every 3 years.
The last update we had, I'm going to go back to the 2010 dates that are in here. Did you have a lot of rules that you had to promulgate from those code changes?
We do. The majority of those, of course, are just striking the date changes. There isn't a lot of substantive changes typically in those three-year code cycles.
Okay, thank you. Further questions of the committee? Representative Howley.
A quick question. I apologize. I didn't get a chance to visit with you before this. Our discussion that we've had on adopting the IBC code is that the new code has on residential housing, the big issue is that they have to be sprinklered now. And I'm trying to go through and see, and you say that the cities cannot be more restrictive, but I know Sioux Falls, and we're looking at excluding that item that require the sprinkling in housing.
Well,
how's that work?
Mr. Chair, I think I can answer both questions. First of all, local programs can be more stringent, but not less. So ours is a minimum-based standard, so the city of Brookings can be more strict, but not less strict than this code.
Do you have a follow-up, Representative?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but just to define that, so if the new code requires sprinklered system in new home construction to be less restrictive, says that we could do that. And you're saying the city doesn't have the option to do that then?
Well, I should answer the other question first. Okay. It gets confusing sometimes. This code, this model code that we're adopting, does not apply to one and two family dwellings, manufactured homes, farm buildings. That's a completely separate, the International Residential Code is a completely separate document from this. Our office does not regulate any residential type construction until we get to 6 units or greater.
Representative Holly, did that answer your question? Follow up.
So by adopting a code, we don't adopt the entire book. We're only adopting the sections that apply to those non-residential areas. Is that what you're saying to me?
Well, this, Mr. Chairman, this code that we're looking at now is a completely separate document from the International Residential Code. Completely separate.
Okay. Thank you.
Your answers are there. Did you get your answers?
Can I beg another question?
I will give you leeway.
Have we adopted the residential code, and what version are we working on there?
Mr. Chairman, we have not. The State Fire Marshal's Office actually in statute, we do not have the authority to regulate fire prevention in one and two family homes.
So those are all local that we've been adopting those then and not on a state version?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Further questions of the committee? Representative Steinhauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In general, I've got concerns about some codes driving up the cost of housing. We aren't building future low-income housing in this country anymore. We spoke yesterday, and I am glad to hear that this is only for residences of six units or more. But in general, I think we need to be cautious about that. And maybe you could comment about, because we have a lot of lower-income people living in multifamily situations, how this might be a driver of higher housing costs.
Mr. Merriman, can you answer that question?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure that I can, I guess. The code that we're looking at adopting is already been adopted and applies to every jurisdiction in South Dakota already. The municipal league did this last year. It's already there, and you know, we're just trying to follow. We typically work very closely with them and their building officials group, and to try to alleviate some of those things, that some of the concerns that you actually bring up. We want to be able to be working off the same set of codes and standards as our local counterparts, especially if we have joint projects, so that we're not requiring something in addition to the city of Sioux Falls or the city of Brookings or whatever the case may be. So that's really one of the primary reasons that we do this and work with them so closely. As far as the cost, the code, enforcement of the code, and what it may do to the cost of housing, I don't know that I'm really prepared to answer that in terms of dollars or anything. But we're very cognizant of those things and work very closely with the industry. And one of the biggest reasons for doing this, it really benefits design professionals, developers, in a lot of cases, and builders, contractors, local building officials, and state officials as well, if we're working together and making those decisions based off the same set of codes. That alleviates a lot of confusion and potential for issues.
Further questions of the committee? Does that answer your question? Representative Willison, question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, mine has to do with style and form, so maybe for our LRC staff. And keep in mind that my mother was the English teacher. I am not. But on page 1, line 13, it refers to the Secretary of Public Safety, and I think that's a title, so that should probably be capitalized. And I wonder if it might not be more correct to say the Secretary of the Department of Public Safety. And then on page 2, it refers to the Secretary again on the first word on line 3. And again, I think that's a title that maybe should be capitalized.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Schoenbeck.
Knowing that Diana Miller is an English major, I would like to know if more correct is the right way to say that.
We can save this for discussion, okay?
I was a C student, okay?
Staff is looking at your questions there, and I won't, right now I want to direct any further questions to Mr. Merriman. We can discuss that during the discussion portion. Any further questions of the committee? Seeing none, at this time, I'll close public testimony. I'll open it up to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1030. Before we do that, Amanda's looking up. Should we have a style and form? Does that need a style and form? What's your opinion?
I don't believe it needs a style and form change. Usually, we don't capitalize. When it's Secretary of Public Safety, we don't capitalize. Say it was the governor or something to that effect, we would capitalize. But in this instance, we don't need to.
What about the chairman?
I would like to, but that also doesn't go in along with our style and form.
Representative Willitson, does that answer your question?
Sure, I told you, I'm a C student. So.
We are now to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1030. Any discussion and or action on House Bill 1030? Representative Northrup.
Thank you. As a small business person, I've had experiences dealing with code, and I understand the benefit of code, and I understand the government has a role to be played in keeping our society safe, and building codes can do that, and I enjoy buildings that are well built, and that's a product of codes that have done that for us, and I've seen what's gone on in other countries, either directly or indirectly with, for example, Mexico or possibly Russia, where they don't have codes, and I've even seen in small towns in South Dakota where there's a lack of codes and the incredible safety hazards that are caused from those lack of codes. But in my own experience, the inflexibility that I've seen by the enforcers to recognize common sense when those codes come into play. And so I'm pretty torn on a bill like this because I understand the need for it, but I also understand what was brought up by the good representative from Hartford in that it drives cost up. And driving cost up when you gain safety is good. Driving cost up for nothing in exchange for that is bad. And so I'll be a no vote today, but I'm not going to be a passionate no vote. I'm just going to be a no vote.
Any further discussion and or action on House Bill 1030? Representative Wolf.
Chairman.
Representative Beal?
Which one of us?
I'm calling on Representative Beal.
Thank you, Chairman. I side a little bit with Al or Representative Nordstrom. As a small businessman, I have asked for variances, common sense variances, you know, and you run into a brick wall from my standpoint. And I think Al probably has too. I will vote probably yes, but I sometimes don't like codes.
Thank you. Representative Wolman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to pass House Bill 1030.
Representative Wolman moves to pass on House Bill 1030.
Second.
Seconded by Representative Kirschman. Discussion on that motion, Representative Wolman.
I'm going to steal Representative Willitson. Just a good bill, pass it.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the do pass motion?
Can I?
Do you have a?
Yeah,
a
I'm going to add. I'm going to add to that a little bit. I think we're discussing a larger discussion here. I mean, we would have to bring another piece of legislation to repeal what we're talking about. But this legislation doesn't really entail what the opposition is talking about. So I move do pass.
Further discussion on the do pass motion. Seeing none before we vote. I just want to remind, we heard it in testimony, the building code was passed last year under, I think it was a municipal league. And what this is doing is just updating to match from July 10 to, or 2010 to 2016. These are the minimum standards, and we heard the testimony. We deal with a lot of other states when we have contractors come over, supply companies, et cetera. Everything is the same. We're not your local, and I did hear a representative over here talk about variances. Most of that is local issues, and they're the ones who have the tighter requirements on the local. These are the bare minimums that they've got that they're adopting here. I'm going to ask you to support the bill, and let's move it on to the floor. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote to pass. House Bill 1030, all those in favor will signify by saying aye. All those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Beal.
Aye.
Harrison excused. Holly.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
No.
Stelzer.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Woman.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
11 ayes.
With an affirmative vote, 11-1, House Bill 1030 moved to the floor with a do pass recommendation. I'm going to take this one on the floor for a little discussion. Ms. Merriman, if you can give me your write-up on that.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Schoenbeck.
And I'm not saying this just because your sister has joined us in the back of the room. I just want to say your speech on this was excellent, and the leadership you're showing taking that bill on the floor is outstanding.
I appreciate the comments from my VC. You really want to hold this hammer sometime, don't you? And yes, my sister is here today. First time I've seen her up in the Capitol all year. She's hiding from me in the back row. Hi, sis. For those that don't know her, she is a lobbyist. She wears, used to be a white badge. Now they're, what, some god-awful green? Well, Diane's got one there in front. You can... Yeah, she's the lobbyist, a green one. And my constituent to her left has a green badge on.
That's enough sucking up.
That's enough sucking up for one after one morning. We are now to House Bill 1041, revise certain provisions regarding the recovery of certain insurance company premium and annuity taxes. At this time, the chair will ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1041. Good morning, Mr. Dieter.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'd like to speak to House Bill 1041, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the recovery of certain insurance company premium and annuity taxes, if I may. My name is Larry Dieter. I'm the director of the Division of Insurance, part of the Department of Labor and Regulation. The bill in front of you is a cleanup bill removing outdated language that's no longer needed in statute. The bill repeals language related to the premium tax recovery process, and the language was only relevant in the year that the bill was put out in place in reference, 1993. The language is no longer necessary, and it's being removed. In conclusion, I'd ask for your support of this bill, and I thank you for your time. With that, I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dieter. Any further proponents on House Bill 1041? Any additional proponents? Seeing none, any opponents to this cleanup legislation? Any opponents? Seeing none, I will open it up to committee questions. Representative Schoenbeck, do you have a question?
Do you need action yet?
Not yet. Questions?
No questions.
Put him on the hot spot. Seeing no questions, I will now open it up to committee and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Schoenbeck.
Move to pass.
Second.
We have a motion by Representative Schoenbeck. Do pass. Seconded by Representative Woolman. Discussion on that motion. Representative Schoenbeck.
I had questions, but when I saw it was only applying to 1993, I was pretty sure all the disputes were probably over.
Thank you, Representative Schoenbeck. It's a good reason to vote for the bill. Any further discussion on the do pass motion? Seeing none, the question is, do pass on House Bill 1041. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Beal.
Aye.
Harrison excused. Holly.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Woman.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
12.
With an affirmative vote, 12 in favor, this bill will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr.
Representative Kirschman, you have a motion. Representative Kirschman moves consent. That's seconded by Representative Howley. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1041 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation and placed on a consent calendar. Representative Steinhauer, you're going to carry this baby.
Okay.
That'll be your first. You'll have plenty of help on this one. Mr. Dieter will provide you with some notes, and he'll follow every step with you.
Mr. Chair, do you want one of us to pull from a consent so he has to talk on the floor?
We'll talk about that later. I don't like... Okay, our last bill up today, and we are going to be out of here before 11, I hope, is House Bill 1040, revise and implement certain provisions regarding the regulation of risk retention groups. This time the chair will ask Mr. Dieter to return back up to the stand and provide us proponent testimony on House Bill 1040.
Good morning again, Mr. Chairman, members of the Committee. I'd like to speak to House Bill 1040. Again, my name is Larry Dieter. I'm the director of the South Dakota Division of Insurance, part of the Department of Labor and Regulation. House Bill 1040 is an update to the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, or NAIC, Model Act. This Model Act was updated by the NAIC in 2012, and these changes have not yet been formally adopted in South Dakota. House Bill 1040 incorporates NAIC model language into existing state statutes, which currently follow the NAIC model law. This bill provides updates to our statute that deals with regulating risk retention groups. A risk retention group, or an RRG, is an owner-controlled liability insurance company that provides coverage only to its member owners. Risk retention groups got their start originally in product liability. Toy manufacturers, for example, needed product liability, and the availability of that was limited, so these groups banded together to form RRGs. As they understood each other's business, they understood the risks associated with their business, and they had similar risks and business types. Why is this bill important to the South Dakota Division of Insurance and Consumers? The reason the update is important is that it's a necessary step in the accreditation process for the South Dakota Division of Insurance. South Dakota is currently accredited by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. Accreditation is important to domestic carriers. Domestic carriers are those companies that call South Dakota their home state, as it allows other states to accept the financial examinations that we complete that are completed by the accredited state. If South Dakota was not accredited, these companies may have to pay for additional financial exams in the states that they would wish to do business in. In the worst case, if we weren't accredited, they may want to move to an accredited state to be domiciled there to conduct business more easily. The costs associated with this could be passed on to consumers and could impact policy rates if we weren't accredited. We do financial exams of insurance companies to make sure they have the ability to pay claims and they're operating under the laws of the state. These exams of an insurance company's financial condition are important as we review their financial solvency and their ability to pay claims in the event of a covered loss. Again, updating this language is a step to help us maintain our national accreditation. Typically, model law updates involve longer bills, so I'm going to apologize in advance for a 15-page bill in front of the committee this morning. I'm not going to go into a section-by-section review. However, I'll highlight a few sections in the bill just to give you kind of a flavor of what's happening and why the update's necessary. Section 3, page 7, it's a new section. It requires an RRG to have a majority of independent board directors and establishes criteria for their independence. Section 4 is also a new section. It establishes the standards for whether a material relationship exists between a board member or officer and a vendor that they're utilizing. Section 7, a new section, requires RRGs to establish governance standards, including performance standards for their managers. Sections 8 and 9 require an RRG to establish an audit committee and provides for qualifications, frequency, and purpose of that audit committee. Section 12 states that an RRG must adopt and disclose a code of business conduct and ethics. As I indicated, those sections that I've described are representative of some of the changes. The changes are primarily in regards to eliminating potential conflicts of interest, improving corporate governance, and updating some of the standards required for that. To conclude my testimony, I'd ask for your support of this bill. I believe it's simply a model law update to the statutes that are currently on the books in South Dakota. It assists the division in maintaining their accreditation. It helps improve some transparency and eliminates potential conflicts of interest with risk retention groups operating in our state. Again, thanks for your support of the bill, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dieter. Any further proponents on House Bill 1040? Any additional proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1040? Any opponents? Seeing none, I'll open it up to committee questions. Representative Schoenbach.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple questions for the director, if I might. Are these interstate or intrastate groups?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Dieter.
They sell across lines. RRGs can operate across state lines. So they're typically regulated in the state that they're domiciled. The majority of their regulation comes from the state that they're domiciled in.
Mr. Chairman. Are there any of these that are currently domiciled in South Dakota?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Dieter.
We have one RRG that's domiciled in South Dakota, and to the best of my knowledge, they don't have any policies enforced at the current time.
Follow-up?
And then, are these all model changes, or are there any non-model act changes?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Deere.
They are all model changes. Some of them have been, I'll call it South Dakotaized to fit the, you know, to fit the way our statutes are written, but there's nothing outside of what the model act takes place there.
Representative Schoenbeck, does that answer your questions? Yes. Further questions of the committee? Seeing no further questions, I will close public testimony, open it up to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1040. Representative Willardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Willardson moves due pass on House Bill 1040.
Second. Representative Willardson moves a due pass motion on House Bill 1040. That is seconded by Representative Howley. Discussion on that motion. Representative Willardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Quick. That was quick. I thought your lips moved.
Yeah. It's just a reflection. You can't.
Oh, okay.
Same hairdo.
You've
got dual reflection going on.
Oh, it's always the forehead.
Representative Willardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to point out that being compliant with NAIC is a big deal to insurance companies. They do pay a lot of attention to that in the process of their course of doing business. And I'd like to, you know, recognize the South Dakota Division of Insurance because they do a good job. Not only at maintaining compliance with NAIC, but also just with their day-to-day business. We've got one of the best divisions of insurance in the country right here in South Dakota, and they do a good job. And for that, I would encourage you to, you know, go ahead and pass House Bill 1020. Thank you. It's further, one of those IRS forms.
Yeah. Further comments on the due pass motion? Any further comments on the due pass motion? Seeing none, before we do vote on this, I looked at this one closely and I saw I could have used it as a vehicle bill for a compact, but I think I'll let that one ride this time. You're safe in this committee. The question is, due pass on House Bill 1040. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Spiel.
Aye.
Harrison excused. Holly.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Stalser.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Woman.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
12 ayes.
Affirmative vote of 12 ayes. House Bill 1040 moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, move consent.
We have a motion consent by Zickman, seconded by Representative Schoenbeck. All those in favor of consent, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1040 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation and be placed on consent calendar. And Representative Willardson, you get to answer all any questions on House Bill 1040.
Thank you, Mr. And Chair.
Please share on the bills that I did assign today. Make sure we share everything with Representative Howley and Representative Kirschman so they can get the affirmative votes out of their caucus. So that being said, we are done with our calendar today. It's not quite 11 o'clock. Good work of the committee. Very attentive this morning. I will have a calendar, an agenda posted for Friday. It's going to be a very simple day. We don't have a whole lot of bills, but the bills we got coming are going to be very lengthy. Next week, we got a couple of them that I will call talkers. And I know down the road, we're going to have another one that'll probably take 3 or 4 days to complete. But we'll face that when the time comes. I'll try and make Friday's meeting short, just a bill or two, and that's about it. But that being said, any discussion for the good of the committee? Representative Willardson, do you have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I'd move we adjourn.
Motion by Representative Willardson to adjourn, seconded by Representative Wick. All in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.